Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Heaven. But first, here's his message. Will there be peace in the Middle East?
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. When you want to know what's next in terms of your future, in terms of the future of the world, you must turn to the Word of God. And there you will discover that the Bible is full of prophecy. In fact, it's estimated that over 30% of the Bible has to do with prophecy or prophetic passages. And one of the reasons that we study prophecy is to understand that God always keeps His promises. Whether they are personal promises to you, to me, or whether they are prophetic promises. Now, I realize when we deal with these prophetic scenarios, some are terrified by the prospect of the future. But you know, the last days to the believer in Christ is not terrifying, but exhilarating. I am an optimist. I have a love in my heart, and that love is for Christ, and that love is a love for His appearing. So to study the second coming of Christ, to think on these things, and to contemplate our future with Him, and to understand the future of the world as God has described it, so that we can warn our family and friends, this is so important. Now, of course, I'm just hitting the highlights of biblical prophecy. There are many books written on prophecy, and many good books, and there are some books that are not so good on prophecy. We have to be careful with fantasy and fiction related to this subject. And what I'm trying to do is to give you a panorama of prophecy, to give you an overview, a strategic grasp of the Scripture when it comes to prophetic events. What we're saying is there are certain things you can know for sure. I'm not dotting every I and crossing every T of prophecy, but I'm saying here's what we can know for sure. Jesus is Lord, and He's coming soon. And because Christ is coming soon to catch away His church, to take us into His presence where we will be rewarded, we also know that there will be times of judgment and tribulation upon the earth. And while God's people, His church, are enjoying heaven forever, there will be great destruction and devastation upon the earth, the revelation of the Antichrist, the rebuilding of the temple. And at the very core, at the very center of this prophetic scenario is the nation of Israel. In fact, much of the focus of the future is on Israel and the Middle East. And of course, world leaders are now grappling with issues of the Middle East. When you look at Israel in the Middle East, you realize that Israel is present in almost 100% of the prophetic picture, and that the Middle East is ground zero for biblical prophecy. The eyes of the world are on Israel and the Middle East. And since 1948, when Israel was reestablished as a nation, the last day's clock has been ticking. It's as though the last piece of the puzzle has been put in place. And I believe we need to understand, Christians need to understand, God's plan for the Jews. For as the Jew goes, so goes the world. It's as if the Jewish nation and the people of Israel are the measuring stick for time and yes, eternity. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, the disciples were very interested in the nation of Israel and the establishing of the kingdom of Israel. So they asked the Lord a question. Verse 6, therefore when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now Jesus did not say, forget about Israel. He did not say, I'm through with Israel. Because in fact, God is not finished with the people that we know as the Hebrews or the Jews, that God has a plan and a purpose. What he did say in verse 7 is this: it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And the very strong implication there, of course, is there is a future, there is a plan, and it's God's plan, and he has it all under his control. And then he went on to say, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then our Lord, before their eyes, ascended into heaven. And the Lord said, or the angel of the Lord said in verse 11, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. God has a plan, and the sign of the times is Israel. So let's take a look this morning at God's plan and God's purpose for Israel. I want you to think first about Israel's conception. You know, you can trace the origin and the history of the nation of Israel with complete accuracy. We know the person who was the very first Hebrew, and his name was Abram, who became Abraham. Now, you can't trace the people of the other nations of the world. Who could name the first Englishman? Who could name the first Swede? Who could name the first German or the first Asian? And yet, God has given us the progenitor of the Jewish nation, the person who established this nation. He is Abraham. And once God called Abraham, and that call is seen in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, get out of your country and from your own family and your father's house to a land that I will show you. He gave them life and he gave them a land. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be called a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God gave Israel its life. God gave Israel its land. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are the patriarchs. These are the progenitors of the Jewish race and of the Jewish religion. And it is so very essential that Christians love Jewish people. The Jewish people gave us our Bible, both the prophets and the apostles. The Jewish people gave us our Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that in this generation that our friends who are Jews will understand that their greatest friends, their best friends on earth are Bible-believing Christians who love them, who love God's Word, and recognize that there is a future for all of us in Yeshua, the Messiah, who has come and is to come. As a result of this creation of the miracle nation of Israel, Israel has become a focal point of history. It is the very center, the very core of the geography of the earth. Someone called it the navel of the earth. It is the geopolitical center of the earth. This little tiny nation, this little small state of Israel, is the focus of the world. It truly is a miracle. And as Israel's prophecies are fulfilled in our own generation, the return of Jesus Christ in our times becomes more and more imminent. So the Israelites were born and established as a nation, sovereignly and unconditionally elected by God. And that brings me to my next observation regarding Israel. Not only their conception, but their preservation. It is truly remarkable, more than remarkable. It is miraculous that Israel has survived and is sustained throughout the generations. Why is this true? Because God has established this nation, and therefore it will never be extinct. And the promises of God to preserve this nation through time and through history are clear. For example, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to look at verses 35 to 37. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And if those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord. Then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever, thus says the Lord. What is God saying? God's saying, just as I've established the moon and the stars and the seas and these ordinances forever, then so have I established Israel. And before I will turn my back on Israel, the stars would fall from the sky. The seas would be emptied of their power. The moon would cease to glow. God has said, I will never turn my back on Israel. And through the years, Israel, therefore, has been preserved. It is a miracle of preservation.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Will There Be Peace in the Middle East? Pastor, this month we have a very special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your book, Heaven. What can you tell us about this great resource?
One of my favorite Christian thinkers, C.S. Lewis, once wrote about heaven. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most about the next world. For example, Christians like William Wilberforce and John Newton led to fight to abolish the slave trade in England. Newton is best known for penning the lyrics to the hymn, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years. These were men who longed for heaven, and it made them powerful forces for Christ on earth. That's something we desperately need right now, isn't it? We need believers whose hope is set firmly, anchored in the promises of God for the life that is to come, because that will strengthen us boldly to witness and to live for Christ right now. That was one of the prayers in my heart when I wrote my book called Heaven. I'm excited that we're offering it as our special thank you when you give to help promote the message of Christ and the gospel through PowerPoint.
Call today and get Dr. Graham's book, Heaven, as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message. Will there be peace in the Middle East?
Now, Israel has been scattered today in unbelief. And God has preserved them even in the midst of their unbelief and even in the midst of their rejection of Jesus, the Messiah. For 2,500 years, Israel has been under the dominion of dictators and despots. In AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman legions of Titus, the general. And you know, because you have studied history, that the Jewish people have endured unutterable hostilities and persecution, and imprisonment, and death. And for centuries, the Jewish people have been scattered, dispersed among the nations. And while dispersed, never assimilated, maintaining their traditions, maintaining their purity of race, maintaining their religion. And while, as I said, many are in unbelief, and the fact is that even today, many of our Jewish friends are agnostic and even atheistic. And yet God, for a purpose, God in some way has chosen to preserve them. And in 1948, Israel was established once again as a nation. And then again in 1967, Jerusalem came under the control of the Israelites. One by one, family by family, of Jewish people have been returning to the land of Israel. And thus we have today what we would call the Palestinian problem. For you see, the Arab people have lived in the land they called Palestine for thousands of years. They reject any idea that this land should belong to the Jewish people. And thus, the fight. Now, I want to hasten to say that we love the Arab people. And we should not get ourselves in the position of saying that Israel is always right politically and the Arab nations are always wrong politically. While we may not understand it, let the word of God stand. God has given Israel the life and the land of Israel. And he has promised to preserve them there until the end of the age. And many in the Palestinian community do not want a nation within the nation or a nation beside the nation of Israel, but a nation instead of Israel. And Jerusalem is the crowning point, and thus this will be ultimately the dying point. Terrorist regimes and anti-Semitic nations determined even at this hour to eradicate Israel. And yet, deep, deep, deep into the psyche of every Jewish person, there is a determination. It is a determination that came out of the gas ovens of Germany. And through years of darkness, of tribulation and persecution, it is a determination to say never again. We've looked at the conception of Israel, the preservation of Israel, now the restoration of Israel. Jesus told a parable about this great preservation and restoration of Israel. You find it in Mark chapter 13, so turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 13. The disciples wanted to know, Jesus, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus had given a parable that they would later remember and study, of course. And we look at it even today in Mark chapter 13 and down at verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you shall know that summer is near. That is, the harvest is near. The end times are near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. And then a very intriguing statement is given at verse 30. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, who is the fig tree in this parable? It is Israel. And so Jesus is saying, when this fig tree blossoms, when it puts forth its leaves, you will know that the end is near. And then he's made this statement, this generation will not pass away till all of these things take place. All right, so here's the question. What does that mean? This generation will not pass away. And Bible students and scholars have expressed some interesting ideas. Some have said he was talking about the generation of the apostles, those who were listening to him that day, that all of these prophecies that we find in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, the Olivet Discourse of our Lord, that all of these have now already been fulfilled. Well, I reject that understanding and interpretation of Scripture for many reasons, but let's just lay that aside to say others have said that the generation refers to the tribulation generation. The people who are living, the Jewish people, who are living during the Great Tribulation. And so some put it all off to the past, some put it all off to the future, that the generation refers to the tribulation generation. And then others have said, no, the generation has to do with the reblooming or the blossoming, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And have even gone so far as to say when Israel was established as a nation in 1948, the countdown began, and within the generation, that generation of the restoration of Israel as a state, then the end is going to come. But I don't believe Jesus is referring to a generation as in a chronological or a number of years here. But the generation here refers to the Israelis, to the nation of Israel. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is simply this, that the nation of Israel will never be extinct. The generation of the Israelites will exist throughout time and never pass away. Even as God's word will never pass away, this generation will not pass away until the end of the age. And yet when you see this, we know that when Israel is in the land, when Israel once again is back in Israel, the nation of Israel, the stage is set for the final world drama. The question is this the terminal generation? We don't know. Is this the final generation? We don't know. What we do know, Israel is established in the nation, and everything is now prepared for what we see in the unveiling of the final days of history. Israel is the key that unlocks many of these prophetic mysteries. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a prophecy concerning this restoration. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Now this is a scary scene. The prophet goes to the valley and bones are scattered everywhere. Apparently an army had perished in this prophecy. And these bones are scattered and they are dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, good answer by the way, Oh Lord God, you know. And again he said, prophesy to these bones. That is, preach to the bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live, and I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So he did as the Lord told him. He prophesied, and one by one there was a rattling and the bones came together and the flesh came on them. But notice verse 7, there was no breath in them. And so he was told, prophesy to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And then look at verses 11 to 14 and you hear the explanation of this prophecy. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What we see in this prophecy, in this passage, is the physical state of Israel and the spiritual state of Israel. When the bones were given sinew and flesh and are standing without breath, it is a picture of Israel today, which has been given stature and a certain strength in the world. They have been regathered, but they have not been redeemed. And Israel is living in between this physical restoration and the spiritual restoration, living in between in unbelief. And because of their unbelief, these dear, precious people will undergo without Jesus the tribulation, the Antichrist, which will once again bring them to Holocaust and to the very brink of hell. They will negotiate with the Antichrist a peace. It will truly be a pseudo peace. In the midst of the tribulation, the Antichrist will turn upon Israel once again. The abomination of desolation takes place at the midpoint. Israel will be betrayed and again almost driven to extinction. In God's day, in God's time, Christ will return. He will fight in behalf of his people Israel. And with the word of his mouth, he will destroy the enemies of his people. And Israel will finally embrace Jesus. Will there be peace in the Middle East? We pray for the peace of Jerusalem as we are commanded in the scriptures. But the fact is, according to the prophetic word of God, there will be no peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes again.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, will there be peace in the Middle East? What will heaven really be like? Who will you meet there? What will you do forever? Get biblical answers to these questions and more in Dr. Graham's book, Heaven. With so many misleading ideas in the world today about heaven, it's important every believer understands the truth about heaven from God's Word. And Dr. Graham's book takes you straight to the source for the exciting truth about the amazing home God's prepared for you in eternity. Heaven is our special thank you for your gift today to help reach more people with the gospel through PowerPoint. So call now to give and get your copy. And thank you for your generosity. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Each of us can't help but notice the increasing attention given to the Middle East conflict in the media every day. And right now, the attention is well-deserved because Israel is going through a very significant time in its history. And there are signs of biblical prophecy being fulfilled all over the Middle East that suggest that Jesus is at the door. He's coming very soon. So here's what I want you to focus on and think about today. Jesus may come at any moment. He could return now. So are you ready? Are you living your life in such a way that you can say that you really are ready to meet Jesus? If not, time is running out. It's time to get serious about living for Him. As the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we always be with the Lord." My friend, this stage is being set in the Middle East, and prophecy is being fulfilled right now. So I encourage you to determine to live a holy life, a pure life, one that is devoted to Him in all the days that He gives you. If you do, you will be ready at any time for Christ's return. If you'd like to receive God's grace and forgiveness today, then respond by praying this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of eternal life. I receive your love and your grace in my life today. I believe you died on the cross and rose again, and I do trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer, coming into my life, and being my God, my Savior, my Master, and friend. Now, if you are accepting Christ today, I want to welcome you into the family of God.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Today, if you prayed that prayer with Dr. Graham and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to hear from you so we can help you begin your new life with Christ. Please call us at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Join us again next time when Dr. Graham brings a message about the greatest party you'll ever attend. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.